morning. Do you want to have an encounter with God? I'll make another statement. God wants an encounter with you. He wants an encounter with you. He wants to cross your path. And it says, no one comes to the Father unless he draws him. But you have that urge, I believe, because you're here this morning. So you've made a step already for an encounter with God. What is an encounter? I looked it up in the dictionary. Have you ever heard this? I know some of you have. We probably heard it on our way back from Peru. On our way back from San Salvador. The pilot told us that we might encounter turbulence during this flight. Just in case we encounter turbulence, leave your seatbelt on. You ever heard that? It's encountering. What that is that when that plane crosses over a bunch of wind, or that wind crosses over that plane, and all of a sudden, and it did, Charlotte said. She prays. Yeah. It's amazing how that plane will settle down when Charlotte says, "Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus," you know. And she could even pray the clouds away when I'm praying for rain. Another part of the definition is a particular kind of meeting or experience with another person. Well, if that person is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Father God in heaven. Another one says an encounter with the coming into the vicinity of a celestial body. And that's what we're talking about. Another one calls it a romantic encounter. Now, that could be sin, but when we come into the presence of the Lord and in a love relationship with him, and we recognize his love for us, it is an encounter with him. Psalms chapter 4, verse 3, "But I know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." My message today is being set apart to minister to the Lord. It's the second part of the message I shared last week. I told you that wasn't a one Sunday message. The scripture says, "But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly." And so the Lord is looking for those that will follow him. The Lord will hear when I call to him. So how do we get the hearing of the Lord to our life and to our prayer? It's because we enter into godliness. One pastor said this. He said, holiness will not bring salvation, but salvation will bring holiness. When we've been thoroughly changed, our heart has been changed, we're no longer living for ourselves, we're no longer in rebellion and disobedience to God, then there will be a desire to be holy, even as he is holy. Santo, 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 the scripture says, the song says, the psalm says, that we will desire godliness in our lives. Our greatest desire should be, like the song, to be like him, to be like Jesus. All I have is to be like Jesus, to be there. He is a servant. Lord, make me like you. Make me like you. You're a servant. Make me one too. To follow Jesus and to be as he is. He is our perfect example. There's other examples of being set apart to minister to the Lord. We'll start with the book of Genesis and end up in the book of Revelation about 2:00 this afternoon. No, I won't go all the way there. But Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Listen to this. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." And this is Adam and Eve. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." They knew the sound. So it would be evident that they had been having daily encounters with God. This was before the fall. They had everything possible any desire could ever be in anyone's life, to have a daily encounter with God. They knew when it was walking through the garden, somehow they wanted to cross his path. They would always go out and be with him, evidently, because later on they were hiding from him. And so this was an encounter with the Lord each day. I ask you, are you having an encounter with the Lord each day? Or is there a morning, is there an evening, is there all through the day where that you're having an encounter with God and that you're walking with him? Are you walking in such a way that he will not be grieved to walk with you? The little song they taught us in children's church when I was in children's church a few years ago. And it was, he sees all you do and he hears all you say. My God is watching all the time. He sees all you do and he hears all you say. My God is watching all the time. Man, that put the fear of God in this little kid. And my mom would teach me, you don't want to say anything you wouldn't want to be saying when Jesus comes. You wouldn't want to go anywhere you wouldn't want to be when Jesus comes. And we thought he was coming every night. Right before midnight. Well, he is coming. Amen. He is coming. I asked Dr. Hickerson. Oh, he said somebody told him I used his name in a sermon. David did that to me. I told him, I said, when can I get off these oral antibiotics? He said, at the second coming. So he believes in the second coming. Amen. They knew the sound that had daily encounters with God. Sweet fellowship, ministering to him in his greatest creation, God and Adam and Eve, the earth he had created. See, God had said, it is good. But, everybody say, but. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? He knew where they were. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that? God knew what had happened. But you see, they had that ministry to God, and they lost it. They lost it. I had a little slide presentation years ago when that was the greatest technology you could have. And it showed that there was a light that clothed Adam and Eve. And when they sinned and ate the forbidden fruit, the light went out. And everything they enjoyed in fellowship with God was gone just like that. You know, one of my greatest prayers is that backsliders will come back to the Lord. Don't you know they're miserable? They are so miserable because they knew. No matter how many atheists talk to them and tell them, or how many scientists or how many intellectuals or college professors try to change them, they know that there was sweet fellowship with the Lord. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I've seen the loss of countenance, that no longer can they have the joy of the Lord because they've lost that sweet fellowship, that communion with God, as they used to walk with him in the cool of the evening. They used to walk with him. They used to be excited about going to church. They used to be excited about the altar, excited about raising their hands to the Lord, but no more. I was at a ball game a few years ago, and I recognized this man's face. He was once a preacher. And he was cursing up a storm. He was drunk. He was yelling every time someone made a wrong play. I thought, God, what happened? What happened to this man? You see, he lost that sweet fellowship that he once enjoyed. Oh, and in Genesis chapter 5, as the descendants came on down from Seth, on down, it says, and Enoch walked with God. I don't know if he had heard about the time that Adam and Eve had God only with them in the cool before their sin. But it says he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And the way I've had that explained to me is that he just got so close to heaven, he kept going. You know, we can have a heavenly experience on earth. when we enter in, when we're set apart to minister to the Lord. We can have that experience. But you know, God did not leave Adam and Eve and the devil winning. As soon as they sinned, there was that promise that, yes, I will bruise the head of the serpent. And that took place at the cross. I love the song we sang that we came alive on this morning that talked about the resurrection. I like that drama when it shows Jesus, you know, in the tomb. And all of a sudden, you know, the devil is somewhere around rejoicing, and he begins to move, and he begins to get up. And the devil is, oh, no, this wasn't supposed to happen. But it did happen. Hallelujah. And Jesus is alive, and he did crush the serpent's head. He bruised the man, the woman, ourselves with sin, but then he proclaimed that there was going to be redemption, salvation that could come from that, and because of that, all can be saved. All have sinned, but all can be saved. Blessed be the Lord. Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. I heard about one pastor said that someone came up to him and said, "Brother, I have a word for you. The Lord told me to tell you something." Now, I know that there's things like that are pretty wacky, but there's some reality. You like that word? That they really can be from the Lord. He said, "The Lord told me to tell you he's been missing you." I ask you, has God been missing you? What would you think if God says, "I've missed you"? What would I think if he said, "Joe, I've missed you. I've missed that appointment that I had with you." A disappointment is a missed appointment. So we're to have that daily appointment with the Lord. It should be that our closing thoughts, our closing words at night, going to sleep, is, "Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord." Our opening thought, Jesus before coffee, no, you won't all buy that. But our opening thought is "Hallelujah. What a day he's given us. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. We are coming today to be with the Lord. Where it's a new day. I'm his creation. I'm a new creation in him. And I'm going to walk with him. And there is nothing that happens today that he can't help me get through." You know, we don't know every morning what the day is. Some day it's a regular day. Some day it's a historical thing. Some good, some bad that takes place. But whatever it is, if we're walking with him as Enoch did, we're going to get to the other side. In fact, Jesus said, "We're going to the other side. Let us go to the other side." And when he says we're going to the other side, we're going to make it. We're going to go to the other side. On in Genesis chapter 12. We find the promises given to Abraham, and I want you to recognize the encounter that the God of this universe had with a man named Abraham, or Abram, that was there. And the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house." From that scripture, I want to make a statement. If we're going to have an encounter with God, we have to get away from all distractions to where we can get away with God. When we were faced with a promise of 186 acres of land, then we got the bad news. She wanted to do it. Her husband did not want to do it. And when he said to her, "They have no money. Even if they got the property, they couldn't have any buildings to put on it." I said, "Well, then we need to build a place to pray and pray everything else into existence." And while it was still their land, they gave permission to build a two-story chalet prayer chapel. And it has been through the years a place to get away from all distractions. I find when I go there that I need to sit on the balcony and do nothing for 45 minutes. Just watch the trees blow. Just let everything settle. Someone sang a song, "I've got to be still and let God love me." I just got to be still and let God love me. I've got to get rid of all distractions that are there. If we're going to to seek first the kingdom, if we're going to minister to the Lord first before we try to minister to anyone else, then we're going to have to recognize that we have to lay some things down. It's very difficult at times, because if you're in administration or if you're in charge of something, well, about the time you get close to that marvelous presence of God, well, the phone rings or something like that happens or somebody needs you. But it's a real thing that we've got to get rid of. He said, away from your country, away from your family. It may be into the country. It may be away. It may be that place where it's just you and God, you alone, where fasting and prayer is going on, and you're in that place to have an encounter with God, where you get away from all distractions. He said, get out of the country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you, to a place. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. By the way, Israel's going to win because God's blessing upon them. And God will bless this church if we bless Israel. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's Charlotte and me. That's you. That through that promise, we are a blessed people. In chapter 15, God's covenant with Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Chapter 15, verse 1 through 7, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who comes from your own body shall be your own heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars. It must have been an evening encounter. And count the stars if you're able to number them. He said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Don't be a doubter. Believe in the Lord. Trust him. Rely upon him. He said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give you this land to inherit it. So from that encounter came the promise that includes us today. That time with the Lord, ministering to the Lord ministering back to him. Chapter 28 of Genesis, we go to some of that offspring, Jacob. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went from Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it on his head. He laid down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. Would you say that's a pretty good encounter? That he had a dream that came from God. His head was on a stone, and he was asleep, and God spoke to him in the night. Chapter 28, verse 15 through 17. By the way, do you get bored when I read Scripture? The Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. And the problem with this world is violation of the principles set forth in God's Word. Behold, I am with you and will keep you forever, wherever you go. And you will bring you back to this land. What a promise. Didn't he do that? 1948. For I will not leave you until I have done what I've spoken to you. The Lord says to you right now, I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. God has put something in your heart that hasn't happened yet, don't give up. Take this as a personal promise. Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place. I did not know it." Would you call that an encounter with the Most High God? He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." We pray on Wednesday nights in our intercession for the north gate of Tyler. And we've got a picture of a gate. There's no gate out there. But could it be that when people pass through that gate that they would realize they're coming to the gateway of heaven? Just as Jacob did, said, "This is the gate of heaven. I have had an encounter with the Most High God. He has visited me in the night." Next book of the Bible, Exodus. Exodus 3, verse 1 through 6. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." Now realize that at this setting, he's a fugitive running for his life. He's away from his people. He's been degraded from a prince to a shepherd. He's out there, you know, tending the stinking sheep. I'm not calling you that. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.'" So to have an encounter with God at times, there might be some phenomenal things that happen to get your attention. "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses, what's your name?'" Everybody shout it out right now. Yeah, God knows your name too. And he calls you, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Don't draw near to this place. Take off your sandals, off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Did you kind of get the feeling this morning on that last song that we were stepping on holy ground? Sometime you may see me like this. It's because I don't know what to do next. Because it's too precious. It's too sacred. It's too powerful. It's holy ground. Song says we are holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes. "Moreover," he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You say, is there such a thing as sacred space? Well, I would think so. I don't think it disturbs the Holy Spirit any for us to bring coffee in here. But I do think it would grieve the Holy Spirit a lot to come in and have mockery in your heart, to come in and to talk when things are being, others trying to worship, or to not repent when the Holy Spirit is speaking. But I believe this is sacred space. I think that the altar at the front can be sacred space. When we had our first ministry at Fronton College, little teen challenge coffee house, with a Fresca sign or a Sprite sign or something, they gave us free, a lighted sign. And I could go in there during the week, and you walk in and you just feel that presence of God in that place. The prayer rooms were special. It was a place where angels rejoiced because people were getting saved. Hippies were getting saved and cutting their hair. Well, anyway, there was change that was taking place, and it was powerful. And you could just walk in, and you'd be there on a Friday night to open up. And just walk in and almost, you know, pray in the Spirit immediately because it was there. And we lost that first place because the people next door did not like our clients. And they bought the place from whoever owned it, and they sent me a notice saying, "You've got 1 month to get out." Then they said a few other things about what had happened on their parking lot and how that we had defaced the neighborhood and this type of thing. So we prayed and prayed, and God gave us a place downtown that was even better, and that we were there. And after we moved out, I went back to get some last-minute things. I walked in the door, and I said, wow, it's not here anymore. The Spirit of God is not in this place anymore. We had prayed down the anointing on everything about that place, and we'd put up walls, and we'd done all these things and rearranged it and remodeled it. But see, it had moved on. That cloud had moved on up Broadway a little bit. And it's true. My mother gave the example of how that they would have Grove meetings, and they'd have Brush Arbor that put up real quickly, and they'd have Grove meetings. And that meant that before church that they'd go out and the men would go on one side, and the women would go on the other side, and they would begin to pray. And she said there would be people that would try to come late, and they would try to come out there to join them, but they couldn't make it out there because all of a sudden, within a certain distance, they'd fall flat on their face. It was sacred space. It was a place. And he said, the place where you're standing is holy. It is a place here that you need to take your shoes off because it's holy ground. In India, the preachers always preach with their shoes off. I kind of like that because I don't like to wear shoes anyway. And they also have you eat with your hands, and it's kind of fun too. But they won't go to the platform with their shoes on. So I can do that if you want me to, but make sure I don't have any holes in my socks, Charlotte. I will turn aside and see this great sight and why the bush does not burn. So when he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush, take off your sandals from off your feet. The place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. Would you say he had an encounter with God? Would you say he was set apart to minister to the Lord? Set apart. That's what sanctification is, to be set apart, to made holy by the Word, by the Spirit. On in Exodus chapter 33, still Moses said to God, he had kind of continued this relationship, please show me your glory. He said, I will not make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see me, Moses, for no man shall see me and live. But the Lord said, here is a place by me. Would the Lord say that to us today? Find a place by me. And you shall stand on the rock, so it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I'll take away my hand, and you'll see my back, but your face shall not be seen. This murderer, Moses, had been changed. I believe God can take murderers and turn them into missionaries. He had been changed. And he actually got to see and experience the very presence of God. He had had that encounter with God. He was set apart as once a murderer to a friend of God that he could be with him. We move on into 1 Samuel. Samuel is another example of being set apart to minister to the Lord. Elkanah and his wife Hannah, or Hannah. I told Chris I was going to preach about his wife. They had no children. And in that culture, other women provoked her severely. And she wanted a baby so bad. 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 18. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Have we come to a point of anguish? Here was a lady, a barren, childless, bitterness of soul. But she came to the right place for an encounter with the Lord. She set herself apart. She made a vow. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on this affliction of your maidservant, remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. You give him to me, I'll give him back to you. No razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. He said, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink. That's a good statement. But have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I've spoken until now. Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you've asked of him. He recognized that she had had an encounter with the Lord and that her prayer was going to be answered. She said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Up to verse 24 came the answer. Now, she had weaned him. She went home and was expecting a baby, and it was a boy. And she took him with her and three bulls. One ephah of flour, a skin of wine, brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. The child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed. The Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. She gave him back. She made the vow. She kept the vow. Oh, if we could just do that today. Of all places in the church, can we put in our hearts today we're not going to break vows? This past week was the anniversary of 50 years or so since our son Jody, 3 years old, was run over by front wheel of the car, over his head, over his chest, over his legs. And when I got the call, I was right down the road here, right there where Taco Bell is, right next door, Fruteria. I was right there on the parking lot. I got the call, and I was out on the parking lot. And they had already told me it ran over his head, and my dad had just had a funeral of another child, and the casket, the head was about that long, just smashed. And I said, oh, God. The only other vow I ever made, I guess, was when I made a vow to Charlotte. I said, oh, God, if you will somehow save the life of my son, I will serve you forever. And I've tried to keep that vow. Got to the hospital, and we were standing there. And the doctor came out, and he said, Who's Mr. and Ms. Foss? And I knew the next word. I'm so sorry. I did everything I could. But instead, the doctor said, This is a miracle. There's not a bone broken. And I still, all that night, his eyes were open, but he was just staring up. And so I didn't know about brain damage. I didn't have anybody else to run the store, so I left the hospital and went up 6 o'clock to run the store. About 8 o'clock, Charlotte called and said, Just a minute. I heard, Daddy. I pulled the stopper. What he meant was the car was in park, or it wasn't in park in those days. It was in the emergency brake was on. And he had seen that when we would pull that, the red light would stop blinking. So he was adventurous. He still is. Hi, Jody. And he pulled that, and the car started rolling back. It got to the street. The door was open. He fell out. The car went over him. I pulled the stopper. Car ran over me. Daddy, I'm in hospital. Oh, Jody, Jody, your brain is okay. Still is, I hope. Two days, we're out of the hospital. I had him sitting on the counter, you know, still with his face, all that rub where the tire went over him. You could see the tread of the tire on his chest. I had him sitting there. And, is that boy got run over, Joe? I said, yeah, he sure is lucky. And my milkman was putting up milk, just putting it in there. And I never had known him to have any thoughts about Christianity. And he turned around and said, wasn't luck, it was the Lord. But that was a vow, just like this lady made the vow. So she followed through on the vow, and she took him in. And this is what we do, really, when we dedicate a baby to the Lord, is we say, not really mine, Lord, whatever you want to do. If you want to make him into a missionary and send him to a foreign land, we say all that good stuff. Now, it's a little different when you're standing there at the airport and you see about 8 of your family leaving on a trip back to Romania. It's a little harder, to say that. But that's what it is. God, they're yours. They're not mine. And even if they start messing up, they're not mine. They're yours, God. You give it back to him. Say, Lord, they're yours. They're yours. They're yours, Lord. And so she began to praise the Lord for his answer. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. This is her thanksgiving prayer. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust. Listen to this. He lifts the beggar out of the ash heap, out of the garbage can, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. Did she have an encounter? I believe she did. I believe that she was set apart. I believe Samuel was set apart. Verse 18 of chapter 2, 1 Samuel. Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it each year. When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan you've given to the Lord. Then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah. She conceived, bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. You know what God does? He does exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. And verse 26, he grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. Everyone recognized that this was a child that was set apart for the Lord. He began to grow up. And you know the story. I won't read all of this, but it's when... All of a sudden, he laid down and he went to Eli and said, you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. And all of a sudden, he went back and he heard Samuel. He went to Eli again. He said, here I am. You call me. He said, I did not call you, my son. Go lie down again. And he went the third time. He arose and said, here I am. You did call me. And Eli perceived the Lord had called this boy. And he said, go lie down as it shall be if he calls you. You say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. And it wasn't what Eli wanted to hear. It was about his sons. It was about sin in the camp. It was about those that frustrated, those that dirtied up the cleanliness of the holiness of God. And he said, you will find judgment. And you know from the story that there was judgment and the ark was taken. It says the word of the Lord came to all of Israel through Samuel. Let's talk about an encounter that Daniel had as being set apart and not breaking his vow. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that if anybody prayed to another god, he would go to the lion's den. He went home, and he went to his upper room. His windows open towards Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. See, he had made a covenant that he would find an encounter with the God of this universe. And even with threats, even with the decree signed, it did not matter to him. He didn't get off in a corner and say, God. He opened his window and he prayed as his custom was. He had a tradition. He had a commitment. He had a vow before the Lord. He prayed. The king goes the next morning. Daniel, has the God delivered you? O king, live forever. He has shut the lion's mouth. Somebody said he just made a pill out of one of those lions and laid down on it. Slept really good. Got up the next morning and the lions were so hungry that those people that had made the decree, they got eaten before they got to the bottom of the pit. Set apart to minister to the Lord. Exodus 28, verse 1. Exodus. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as a priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, a sash. He was making preparations to minister to the Lord. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me as a priest. So he loves our desire to minister to him. Leviticus 6:10, and the priest shall put on his linen garment, his linen trousers. He shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them aside on the altar, beside the altar. 1 Chronicles 23:13, the sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses, and Aaron was set apart, he and his sons forever. And we're part of that being set apart as a believer today. To minister to him and to give the blessing of his name forever. We have been called out to be set apart to minister to the Lord. We've been called to have that encounter and find that holy ground. There was a time that when they prayed, the place was shaken. That was holy ground. There was a time on the day of Pentecost when suddenly came the sound of a rushing mighty wind. That's almost like a repeat of what Adam and Eve had in the garden. A rushing mighty wind. It filled all the place where they were sitting. They knew it. They recognized it. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. While they were just sitting there, they recognized, uh-oh, this ground is holy. Sorry. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Jesus is our high priest. He came as a high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is not of this creation, not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the pure of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So we have an opportunity to be an Aaron today. We have an opportunity to have on the linen garments today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we are the royal priesthood today. as a believer that we are the royal priesthood and we can enter into worship. We can enter in to present ourselves unto him as we are. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 31. Therefore, you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name. I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who what? I am the Lord who sanctifies you. What is sanctification? It's being set apart, made holy by the blood of Jesus, by the word of God, by the Spirit of God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. You want to be a priest today? Hannah, would you come? There's some requirements and duties of a priest for the world today. Either one. Come on. It doesn't matter. Okay. Hi, Hannah. Requirements and duties of a priest for today. I read this last week, but it needs to be read every day. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Who? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Is that you? Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. We must be set apart to the Lord. We must be set apart to minister to the Lord. This is going to require a daily repentance, a daily sanctification, a daily worship, a daily saying, I'm going to lay aside everything that would hinder me, lay aside every weight, and come into the presence of the Lord. Before we ever try to minister out to anybody else, we got to minister to the Lord first. It's our first ministry is to the Lord. It can be done. Wherever you are. This was a statement as I grew up. A family altar in every believer's home. What's a family altar? It's where that you pray with your wife, you pray with your children. My parents knew what I was going to face in public school, and it was nothing like it is now. And before we ever left the house, we had prayer together. And a family altar in every believer's home. A private altar in every believer's life. We need to find that dwelling place that we can be set apart. It may not be a prayer chapel at Calvary Commission. It may be beside your bed. It may be a chair, the living room. But it's got to be a place that you will set aside. This is where I have to meet God. I meet God. I've had some great times of the Lord going down the highway. But we have to find that dwelling place where we'll be set apart. It could be at the altar of our church here today. Our worship team must minister to the Lord first. To the Lord, not just to us. They must minister to the Lord before they minister to us. Our pastors and teachers must minister to the Lord before they minister to us. You'll know the difference. You'll know if it's something that's just canned at the last minute. And I do believe that God can say be instant in season, out of season. But if we have failed to prepare our hearts, these notes mean nothing without the Holy Spirit applying them. Our outreach teams must minister to the Lord before trying to minister to the lost. Jason said they prayed about an hour before each service. Think about this morning. Would God be saying to you, I've been missing you? Are there missed appointments? Are there disappointments? We'd like for our prayer team to come across the front at this time. We're going to pray with those that want to pray. If you need someone to pray with you, we'll go to one of the prayer team people right now. If you are wanting to just pray and commit some of these things to the Lord, well then, just bypass the prayer team and kneel before the Lord. They'll know that you're just wanting some time with the Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I've delivered my soul today, and I pray, oh God, that you would now take the words that have been shared, not just my word, but your word that has gone forth. Lord, that we will make a commitment that we've got to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. For all these things to be added unto us, Lord, that we need to receive. Your word goes forth. There's an action of the Holy Spirit that has gone forth this morning. Now, Lord, we have a reaction to the Holy Spirit, and that would be with a vow that we're going to make, or that would be going to be with a repentance that we're going to have, that would be going to be with a need that we present. It says, if two will agree touching any one thing, it shall be done. So, Lord, we pray that as we pray together with our people this morning, that we would see your word come alive in our hearts, oh God. If you'd rather not come forth, but you want to pray there in your seat, make an altar wherever you are. Jesus. Got a song?
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.
For the
Lord.
For the Lord is here, and where he is holy.
Sing it if you know it. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, oh God. Yes, my Lord. Business with God this day. Say, Lord, set me apart. Consecration, sanctification. Bless the Lord Jesus.
This is holy ground.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are, Jesus. Yes, we are, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
For the Lord is here, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing.
Holy God, we praise you this day. We exalt you, Lord.
We are standing on
in this atmosphere today, there may be someone here and you would say, I've really never experienced the true salvation you're talking about, where that I've been changed and I desire to live a holy life. If that's the case, then you're lost today. You're not ready for the coming of the Lord, whether it be by death or by His coming again. You don't have to leave the place that way today. If we have a person here today, man or woman, young person, that you'd say, I want to be honest with God. I am not born again, but I would like to have this relationship you all are experiencing here today. Would you just raise your hand right now? We want to minister to you. If you're not a believer, but you want to follow the Lord in salvation, would you raise your hand right now? Anyone over here? If you really mean that, you need to make a walk down here. There'll be someone to pray with you. And this can be your day of salvation. This can be a day where that you come into the kingdom of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, not by works, lest anyone should boast. You can't work yourself into salvation. It's got to be a willful choice that you respond to the Holy Spirit and say, I want to follow the Lord. I want to follow the Lord. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to release you and let the Holy Spirit continue to do His work. You want that? Let me see your hand. I want the Holy Spirit to continue to do His work. I want this message to apply to my heart today.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Just real quick before we dismiss, I just want to just ask for my church and the prayer warriors of this church to lift my mom up. My mother is back in the hospital again.
Yes, Lord.
I just got a call the other night. And she was doing, I talked to her Tuesday night, and we were talking about the scripture. She had been reading her Bible in Philippians, and she was reading, she can do all things through Christ who strengthens her. And we were going over some of the scriptures, and she just sounded so good. And the very next night, I get a phone call from my sister that she's back in the hospital. She's having some episodes where she's not remembering anything and totally blacking out. We just don't know what's going on. But I just want to put this before my church family that you would lift her up. Her name is Karen. And just pray. Amen. Just pray for God's healing and restoration. Amen.
Amen.
And we find out what's going on. Amen. And God will restore. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we pray for Karen Abney right now, God. Lord, in the hospital room, Lord, that she can have an encounter with you, an encounter of healing. And we pray right now, you're Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And we pray for that right now. We join Jason. We continue to pray, believing there'll be a good report. Jesus' name. Yes, we do. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, meet every need in this congregation today, physical, spiritual, financial. Reach out to them. Amen. Raise your hand. Stretch it this way as we go this morning. I want to give the blessing of the Lord to you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Jehovah te bendiga y te guarde. Jehovah haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehovah alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. May the Lord bless you. Go and find a need and meet it, and find a hurt and heal it. Go and find a dwelling place where you can have continual encounters with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Thank you for coming. Bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.